Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 393, entitled Streamlining Digital Sales with Mindspun. It was published on Thursday, the 10th of October, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and a few bits of housekeeping before we begin. The first thing to mention is Black Friday. It's getting ever closer. If you're in the WordPress space and would like to buy some WordPressy things, so that could be blocks, themes, hosting, who knows, we've got a page which is starting to take shape. Head to wpbuilds.com/black. Once more, wpbuilds.com/black. Bookmark that page, and during the run-up to Black Friday, we're going to have hundreds of WordPressy deals on that page, searchable and filterable for your delectation, so that you only have to go to one spot to hopefully find all of your WordPressy deals. Once more, wpbuilds.com/black. If you would like to add your deal because you've got some product in the WordPress space, hit the blue Add a Deal button at the top of that page, and we will add that completely for free. And if you would like to, as WS Form have done, have a top-tier sponsor slot at the beginning of that page, go to the black cards at the top and hit one of the Get Started buttons, and we will get you on that page, pride of place, in the run-up to Black Friday. The other thing to mention is the WP LDN Masterclass. If you are in the London area on Halloween, the 31st of October, and you would like to learn directly in person from Tim Nash all about WordPress security, head to wpldn.uk/masterclass to find out more about this in-person event happening. I'll be there along with some other people in the WordPress space in central London, so that would be really nice if you can possibly manage that. The only other thing to mention is if you would like to advertise on the WP Builds podcast and get your product or service in front of a WordPress-specific audience, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. A bit like these fine companies did. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place. Invoice clients and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more by heading to go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Then try Omnisend at omnisend.com. And we do thank GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for keeping the lights on over at WP Builds. Podcasts such as this cannot happen without their support. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, as I said at the top of the show, we're talking about Mindspun. I've got Matt Lau on, and he is the founder of this new plugin. So, you know how when you pay for things these days, you're so used to whipping out the phone, putting your fingerprint onto the fingerprint scanner, and holding your phone up to the terminal, and immediately the payment goes through. Well, what if you could do that on websites? What if it was possible to sell digital products such that the person buying it would make a decision, hit one button, scan their thumbprint, and boom, you've purchased it? The whole process could be over in seconds. Well, that's the premise of Mindspun, and Matt Lau is here today to talk about it. Really interesting technology, leveraging WordPress and all of the innovations happening on mobile devices and their digital wallets. I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast today by Matt Lau. How are you doing, Matt?
Good.
Matt is joining us from Las Vegas, which is a nice place. We were talking before I hit record about all the fun things that you can do if you're an outdoorsy kind of person in Las Vegas. Sadly, this is not an outdoor podcast. WordPress, so we're not going to talk about those. But Matt and I have met in the real world because Matt and I had a chat in a cafe in Torino during WordCamp Europe, and he was telling me all about Mindspun, which is a product that he's got. We'll get onto that in a moment. But there's more to Matt than that, because we're going to talk a little bit about some other things as well. Before we get stuck into it, though, Matt, it's a fairly pedestrian question, but it's the best way to always start a podcast. Will you just tell us your short bio, who you are, what your relationship with WordPress is, that kind of thing, in, I don't know, a minute or so?
Yeah, so I'm Matt Lau. I live in Las Vegas. I came here via Silicon Valley. Before that, I ran a small boutique sort of consulting group there. I left that to join a startup a few years ago, actually many years ago, now that I think about it. The time kind of passes really quickly. And then after I left that startup, one of the problems that I had was like how to correctly build a site for a SaaS company. And that's what brought me to WordPress. So I'm actually, in terms of the people who've been in the WordPress space for years, if not decades, I'm a newcomer. And so I started Mindspun with the purpose of solving some problems that I saw in this space. Specifically, it was difficult to sell things on WordPress. So that's how we got to here.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'll just direct people, it gives you some indication of where we're going to go with this podcast. If you want to Google Mindspun, of course you can do that, but probably easier if you just go to mindspun.com. Pause the podcast. It's exactly how you'd expect. It's mindspun.com. Have a little ferret around there, and then you'll have some intuition as to what Matt is going to be talking about. Before we get into that, we've got kind of two topics. We've got WordPress development and how difficult it now is, plus we've then got the Mindspun bit. And just before we hit record, you said you'd kind of like to get into that whole development and what it's like beginning a project in the WordPress space now. So we'll open up that conversation. And you said that you thought it was harder to develop now for WordPress, you know, plugins, blocks, themes, just really because of the technical debt, the technical overhead that you've got to have if you want to develop. So React has kind of got to be in your back pocket now, whereas maybe 10 years ago, you could dabble with PHP and dabbling was fine. Mostly, you know, if something went wrong, you could probably Google it and figure it out. And if it didn't work, things didn't break in an irreparable way. Whereas it does seem like the burden of knowledge with React is a lot harder. So just let's get into that. Are you happy with the way the WordPress project is going regarding all that?
I actually am. We're not there yet. There's a long way to go. I think that we all kind of thought that we'd be farther along in this process than we are, but it's the right direction. And especially for large projects like WordPress being maybe the largest ever, it's easy to sit back and rest on your laurels and let the world sort of pass you by. And WordPress didn't do that. So we should all be really happy about that. The problem is the technology has definitely gotten harder. The barrier to entry for a new product, for developing in WordPress, for things like that is just much higher now. And what we don't want to do is get into a situation where the only people who have the technical knowledge to do it are like large companies. You know, only the enterprise can really play in that space, because that's just not the core of what WordPress is.
Yeah, I think if you were to go back, well, when plugins first started, for example, or themes, when they crept into WordPress, it was relatively straightforward, even for a complete novice to have a go. And obviously, you know, as plugins got more complicated, then the debt that you would have to have in terms of PHP knowledge and JavaScript and CSS and all that would be significant. But most people who were technically inclined or, you know, had that desire probably could have given it a go. And I know what you mean I do hear grumbles amongst the community about how difficult this stuff is to master, but also whether or not they want to put the work in for React, because it may be that WordPress isn't going to be what they're going to do forever and a day, and they just want to be in technology. And so being so opinionated about React, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but it does feel as if React in the enterprise was really super popular, but it kind of feels like it's not quite the hotness that it was a few years ago. I don't know what you think about that.
It's not the new thing. It's not the shiny new thing that everybody's talking about. It's still the workhorse, though. You know, it was absolutely the right JavaScript framework for WordPress to go towards. It just was. If we'd gone to something else, some competitor, Ember or Angular or whatever, it wouldn't have made it any easier. And in fact, because the React community has such a following, there's a lot more like help information out there about that than any other choices. So I think that new projects that are being spun up outside of the WordPress space that are just using JavaScript are still very heavily focused on React.
Yeah. But does it concern you then that because of the nature of WordPress's community and how it evolved, that evolution is going to sort of stall? You know, if you're a plugin developer and you're coming into the space, which is what you are, you in the back of your mind, I'm guessing, is, okay, I'm banking on WordPress because WordPress has this history of getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it seems like the right bet. But I guess in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, am I betting on the right horse here? You know, should I be doing something for some sort of SaaS-based solution like Squarespace or Wix or something like that? Because there doesn't seem to be this groundswell of new people coming in. And I don't know if you picked up on it when you went to WordCamp in Torino, WordCamp Europe, but if you look around the room, it's not full of 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds. It does tend to skew towards the older generation, you know, 30 plus maybe is the demographic where it really begins. So does that kind of stuff worry you, that the community's not going to be there in 5-10 years time, therefore it's a bit of a bet to make that you're going to go with WordPress?
It's a really good question. Yes, I mean, when you go to a WordCamp, the average age definitely skews much higher than the average tech conference. I don't know if that is an indication of where the market itself is going, because you know the WordCamp community is like, the people who go to WordCamps are not necessarily the people who are building with, at least at the national size, right? They go, maybe the more local ones, it has more people who are actually doing the hands-on work as opposed to people who are building for it. But you know, when you put your effort behind a technology, you're betting on that technology. And like WordPress is still a major, 40% of the market, right? I mean, so there's even if it drops a little bit, there's a lot of a long way to go. There's still so much of the internet that runs on WordPress. I mean, a change in WordPress affects the internet. And that's major.
Yeah, I think it's still the thing to bank on, would be my guess. But you've obviously got experience of launching recently. Tell us about the journey of building then. You know, how hard was it? Were you, I mean, you said you'd come out of Silicon Valley. You didn't really allude to what your roles were there, but has it been difficult for you to build a product? You know, is the technical side of building a product in the WordPress space now pretty high?
I think it is. I was fairly surprised about this. I mean, I've built a lot of stuff in the past, and I'll be honest, I was pretty wrong about how long it was going to take to add block support to the Mindspun Payments plugin. It took a lot longer than I had thought. So let me give a little bit of history that'll make that sound.
Yeah, please. That'd be good.
A little bit more, make sense more. We created a Mindspun Payments plugin that had the ability to configure things with templates, just like old PHP templates, the very standard way that most other other plugins work. And the goal was to fix some of the problems that we saw with the way other plugins, EDD, Woo, things like that, were using the payment processor. That's too technical, but it means that it excluded a lot of the use case. And we could talk about digital products versus
physical. We'll get to that.
But it was really to fix some of these problems that just didn't have a solution. Okay. We did a bunch of early beta testing very early on, like really, really raw. You actually signed up
for
way back when. And found a few problems. And one of the things that we found across the board was that no one was changing how their like checkout experience worked. No one was changing the default like checkout screens, and that is a huge impact to your sales process. I mean, how you sell is really about the friction in the process, and having a cohesive branding, all that increases your conversion rate. I mean, it's been proven time and time again. All the major brands focus on this, and yet no one was doing that. And so the question was why? And the reason was it was just too difficult to go in and change the templates, because you had to kind of know what to put into the PHP, and it was weird and all that. Okay, well, great. That has an obvious solution. Well, we create blocks that would do exactly this. And so began a months-long process to make this happen, because we wanted to do it the right way. We wanted to do it in the WordPress way, where blocks are really as you would think about them. They're little pieces that you put together to make a bigger thing. Not here's a block that shows you your entire checkout screen. That's just like putting in new technology with the same functionality. It doesn't actually provide any benefit.
So you sort of atomizing all the little bits, so you've got all of the component parts of a page as separate bits that you can build in a jigsaw sort of metaphor.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Using the block editor metaphor, as opposed to here's a whole bunch of functionality that gets stuck into essentially a section or a div in a site, right? And so that's the theory that that the editor has, right? Like a paragraph tag is just that, a paragraph tag, a heading, et cetera. And then you compose those into exactly what you want. Exactly. Not just like, here's a generic like login form. Like, let's move around the forms. And so we went down that path. It took way, way longer than anticipated.
Oh, no.
Along the way, we ended up building essentially a block library that's called Mindspun Responsive Blocks. That's available for free on the App Store, the plugin repo. That took a long time too. And the purpose of that was just to add responsive controls to the blocks so we could use them. And then along the way, we also created the ability for other plugin developers to use that. There's a storybook for showing responsive components that you can use in your plugin. If there's plugin developers listening to this, don't go down. We want to save you the pain. Use our stuff for free. I'll help you do it. Don't experience that pain. And then that became the framework for the ability to generate your own checkout page exactly in a pixel perfect brand accurate
way. Can I ask, was it naivete with a bit of hindsight? Could you have known it was going to take longer, or is it just a case of, okay, we're doing something on WordPress? Yeah, we know what we're technical people. We can figure this React stuff out. And then, oh, hang on. In other words, if you did the same thing again, do you think you could have made the journey quicker, or is it just a long time that it takes?
Yeah, I mean, knowing what I know now, I'm faster at it. But it does, I don't think that my, introduction, my ramp up was novel or unique to me. I think this is what it it takes to build like that in the WordPress space now. And it's React, but it's also WordPress React, which is technically, I guess, pre-React and all that. And so it's got some very specific WordPress ways of doing it, right? It's React plus Redux plus, and so with different terminology, all that stuff is very much changing on a day-to-day basis, right? We've seen the terminology evolve. We've seen all kinds of stuff. So even in today's like AI space, like you kind of have to dig through the code. You have to dig through some other stuff because even the AI models aren't trained on it because there's just not enough documentation.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
And that's not, that is not a criticism. That is just, where we are, right? It's new stuff. It's changing quickly. The documentation's way better than any other project would be at this stage, but it's just not like the amount you can read about online for the PHP side of it is just significantly more, right?
It's kind of interesting because during the PHP years, if you like, when all the plugins were just basically using PHP, we've risen up to, I think at the minute, it's 60,000 plugins in the WordPress repository, plus, you know, countless, maybe that number again, commercial plugins, who knows? I mean, it would be hard to know. But the point is there were lots, and it ramped up very quickly. I haven't really kept my eye on how that number has increased since the advent of blocks, but it seems like for years we've been saying 60,000 plugins in the WordPress repository. And I do wonder, and it hasn't really occurred to me until now, if that has slowed down, if the community, you know, if it's difficult for people to get in, make a start, if they haven't got that technical knowledge already, and whether or not new companies will be able to forge their way, like you're trying to do at the moment, you know, whether you can get off the ground or whether projects stall because it's too difficult, too time consuming, the barriers are too, you know, there's just too much to overcome. That's interesting. But that number of 60,000 doesn't seem to have spiked up in my recollection, but that's just what's in my head. But that's kind of concerning, I guess.
Well, that's interesting because so we just released a new plugin for the first time, the Mindstorm Response Blocks, earlier this year. And that team, who's all volunteers, I mean, they're great, right? But they're slammed. The plugin review team is completely slammed right now. It took something like 2 months for them to get to it. And I think there was 200 and some odd plugins in the queue ahead of me whenever I submitted it, because it just tells you, right? So there's definitely work going into it. I mean, there must be plugins coming out who are dropping off the repo too, but new stuff is definitely coming.
Yeah. I'm sure you're right. It's interesting. It'd be interesting to see if new innovative stuff is coming in from incumbent players, you know, people who've already figured out their place in the WordPress space and have got a development team, or whether or not, you know, single developers just trying to nickel and dime an idea that they've got. I wonder if that's going to be more difficult. You're right. There's been great measures taken to decrease, put more boots on the ground with the plugin review team to decrease the amount of time, but I don't think we're kind of out of the woods yet. But that is a really interesting observation. If the level of difficulty has climbed to the point where somebody seasoned like you is, I guess you're looking back and thinking, gosh, I wish we could have done it in half the time, a quarter of the time, two thirds of the time, whatever it may be, then that is probably getting played out thousands of times over. And it'd be interesting, if you're listening to this and you've got any intuitions about that, if you're banging your head against the React wall at the moment, then Matt is maybe somebody to talk to. Let's just move on, because we've been talking, you know, I mentioned the URL and we now know what the project is, mindspun.com, go check it out. What is it? Just tell us about this project. It's time to, advertising mode engaged. Tell us what it is, what it does, why you built it. Let's start there.
Mindspun Payments is at its core a fundamental way of selling on WordPress. It's It's sell a digital product on WordPress the right way.
So it's digital product. And we want to nail that to the mast, right?
Digital product.
So it's not like...
Absolutely.
You know, there's no inventory here. It's not like selling socks or trainers or, you know, it's just digital stuff. Right. Okay.
Yes. If you're selling t-shirts or whatever, go use Woo. I mean, that's absolutely the way to go. But for years, since we, you know, the internet was created, we've sold digital products the same way that we sell physical products. And that's just wrong, right? Digital products are fundamentally different things. Like, there's no concept of inventory. There's no concept of sizing. There's no concept of a whole lot of asking questions and putting things in shipping, right? I mean, we use this methodology that was geared towards, like, from the 1930s, where we take a bunch of things, put them into a shopping cart. People who are listening to the podcast can't see the air quotes I just used. put them into a shopping cart and then, you know, buy everything that way. And that made sense because you had to, you know, you had to make sure that all the stock existed. The shipping was better if you did put it all in one box, all that stuff. But for a digital product, you should be able to buy it with a single click.
It's like hitting the download button, right? Mm-hmm. If you're after an ebook or something like that, you just want to hit the button and get the thing, because you know that there's no configuration of that thing happening. Nobody's putting it in a box. Nobody's putting it on a truck that it's got to go somewhere or figuring out shipping costs. It's just, okay, it's coming from your computer to my computer and I want it right now because it's digital. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what in the amount you're going to sell is directly proportional or directly inversely proportional to how much friction there is in that process. Yep. So if you can write a blog that talks about something and then, oh, by the way, here I go into it more deeply in my ebook, and you click on the button, stay similar on the page, continue reading, you're going to sell a lot more than if you have to go to a shopping cart process and pay the normal way. Digital wallets today, you know, I guess for the Europe market, it's mostly Google Pay. The US is dominated by Apple Pay, but those make it possible for, you know, no typing. And I showed you this in Trim where we used demo.mindspun.com. We bought a digital ebook. It sent you an email with, you know, some upsell information. And you typed in nothing.
Yeah.
Right. It was just your digital wallet to
provide. Yeah, I'll just sort of illustrate to everybody what I went through. And if I get this wrong or if I've misremembered, just let me know. So you sent me a URL. I had my phone in my hand. I went to the URL, navigated whatever it was I was supposed to get. You know, there's the button. And I hit the button. And if memory serves, Google stepped in and says, give us your thumbprint, you know, because there's a card transaction about to happen. So that was pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. I knew what was going on. Okay, Google's, okay, it's protecting me. Great. Thumb went on. And then that's it. That was basically the thing done. And the whole thing was without any friction. And honestly, 5 seconds, it was done. Mm-hmm. You know, the only decision there was, do I put my thumb on it because I want it or not? And in this case, you know, it was a zero cost item. So there was no decision. We were just testing it. But that it was pretty remarkably quick and frictionless. And I guess that, have I got that about, have I remembered that correctly?
That's exactly right. And, you know, and that was the perfect example because we were, you know, we're sitting in a coffee shop. It's a WordCamp. Like, people are walking by that we know, you know, there's 1,000 distractions. And it, you were able to complete that process, right? Just really quickly. And that's, I mean, that's kind of an analog for modern life. That's just how things are. I mean, I was at WordCamp Phoenix and listening to one of the, I think it was a presenter from Bluehost who was talking about, like, she basically said, hey, if there's not just a digital wallet, I just don't buy it anymore. You know, it's just not worth it. And, you know, that's not how you buy a plugin these days. That's not how you buy a lot of things. So we're really trying to make that process correct for digital products. And
No, you keep going because I was going to just segue a bit. So you carry on.
But it's the entire purchasing process, right? So it's what you did with the thumbprint. But then after that, it took you to another page that you could again design with blocks, which helps you with onboarding. Because the only thing that's worse than a missed sale is a refund. I mean, there's that's and if you can help people onboard very quickly, that is that really decreases the amount of refunds you have to give out, which are fairly common in the WordPress space. You know, people asking for refunds for like digital products or product plugins themselves. What we the interesting thing also is as we've gone down this path of really thinking about how a digital product differs from a physical product, you know, the metrics you follow are different. We you're focused on, you know, getting that first customer, getting their information, customer acquisition, and not necessarily like the initial customer purchase price, which is what people with physical products tend to focus on. Like, how can I increase my average order size? And we kind of turn that, and the marketing continues after that first customer acquisition.
So it's about kind of, because it's a digital thing and there's no configuration going on. Honestly, I kind of feel that your product, its best days are ahead, because at the moment we're all just getting used to the idea of having the digital wallet. I mean, I don't know about you, but I still know a whole load of people who literally have never used it. And when I go in with my phone or my watch or whatever it may be, and I pay for things, I am genuinely shocking people sometimes. Like, whoa, what did you, what? And I know that that's increasingly becoming, you know, it's everybody's doing it now. And at some point in the future, it will just be, you know, maybe we'll be entirely cashless. I don't know. But it still seems like quite a quirky thing to do. And the idea of buying digital things, it's still kind of, yeah, I could use a checkout. But once you've done the Mindspun thing and you've seen it, especially as a vendor selling this stuff, it's just a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? And because nothing's to be configured, and let's say it's an ebook or it's an MP3, you've written a song or you've got a podcast and I've made it, it's sitting in a file bucket somewhere on Amazon, whatever it may be, it's ready to ship, people can just buy it. The whole thing is done in seconds, and the only guardian of that is the thumb. You know, you're trusting. Whereas if you go with a cart, you've got to either have an account, set up an account, do all of this kind of stuff, and, you know, type in a 16-digit number and then remember what the CVC number is and all of that kind of stuff. And I know that that's not that hard, but the generation that's coming up, that's going to be like, ugh. You know, what's that all about? I just give it to me now. Yesterday, in fact, I just want it right away. And there's my thumb to prove that it's me. And I think the use cases for it are going to be far broader in the future than they are now. Because we're using things like ebook, MP3, but it could be, I don't know what it'll be, you know, plugins, themes, blocks in the WordPress space, but almost anything, that whole click your finger on the button, authorize yourself, get it right away. That's going to be so much commerce, I think, will be done that way.
And I think that's right. And the numbers support that. The adoption for digital wallets is significantly growing. And then on the other side, if you look at something like 60% of all shopping carts are abandoned.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, that's so depressing as a vendor.
If a product, I mean, if a product goes into a shopping cart, it's more likely it won't be bought than it will be bought by that person.
Which is infuriating because there's so much intent by putting it in the cart as well. Oh, gosh.
And some of it is that, you know, people are just using it as like reminder lists and stuff like that. But really, the number is about 60% in terms of abandonment rate.
Can I just ask, in the process that you've got, so the way I described it is you've got a product, so let's use the mobile example, and I'm imagining that increasingly in the future, my Mac, I've got a Mac Mini, and it doesn't have the wallet because I don't have like a thumb, you know, I don't have a fingerprint sensor, but my daughter has a MacBook. And she does have a fingerprint sensor. So would it be possible to use Mindspun's technology on a machine, like a desktop machine or a laptop, if it's got that fingerprint sensor as well? Would it be something that you could implement there?
Yeah, it's okay. still works on a desktop. The fingerprint, the security measures that are used differ upon the hardware you have.
Okay.
Right. And so like with a MacBook, you can, usually your credit card is tied to that, to, you know, the BIOS sensor.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But you can also, just prompt you for a password.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the same concept. I mean, the digital wallet has been implemented in the browser and in the phone, all that stuff. So it just uses what's available.
Yeah. There. I've just thought of a really neat example, actually, of where something like this would, like, it's an actual thing, but it's not an actual thing. I went on a train journey the other day, and in order to buy the train ticket, I had to go to it's called the train line in the UK. So you select the train that you want, and you make sure that it's all at the right times. And then you add that to the cart. So you have to add the train ticket to a cart. You're never getting a train ticket. The train ticket is just going into, in my case, Google's wallet. But you still have to add it to the cart. Then you have to go to the cart and check that, oh, yeah, this is the train ticket that you want. Yes, it's the train ticket that I want. Just check. Yes, I've checked. And then you go through the process of buying it. That, like buying a ticket, you know, for a gig or a concert or something, that would be another, like almost like real world example of how this could work. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a ticket for a concert. Do you want this? Yes. Click your finger on it. There you go. Done. You've got it. How does the email arrive? Because I don't remember plumbing in my email address, but maybe I did when you did the demo. I can't remember if Google handled that or, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. And that is the real advantage of doing the digital wallet approach. Is the information is then sent to the vendor automatically by the purchase. So here's an email and a little bit of additional information saying, here's the person who made the purchase. If you're using a digital wallet for a physical product in a different thing, it can also include things like shipping address and things like that too. But the real advantage is exactly what you're talking about, is it's typingless. To buy something, you don't have to type anything. And that is a huge win on mobile, as you'd seen, right? So, if you have to type in stuff on, especially at a certain age level.
Yeah.
If you have to type in stuff on, then you tend to have to, that's like having to type in a bunch of information on your phone is actually a pretty big barrier to entry. Or, you know, I'll just do it at home. I'll type it on my desktop and then you forget about it. So if you can just, push a button, maybe enter your thumbprint, do something that says, hey, I authorized this purchase. And it just happens right away. That's going to really increase conversion rates.
Yeah.
And that's what vendors care about.
I think we're just kind of getting used to it. We're in that phase where it's still weird for some people. The friction, how to describe this? It's kind of reassuring in some senses to have a bit of friction, because then you know that fraud is going to be lessened and what have you. And I remember the first time that I put my fingerprint on my phone and it unlocked my phone. I remember thinking, I'm not entirely sure if I trust that. You know, in other words, if somebody steals my phone, is their thumb actually going to work? But now that we know, right, we know that that technology is really robust. I totally trust that if I leave my phone on a train, nobody else is getting into that, even though my thumbprint is enabled. And I think that's where we're at. We're just at this period of, okay, this is the technology that's now available to us. And you're right in the middle of it. You've come out with a technology which adopts all of that. But is it getting accepted? You know, are people starting to use Mindspun? Is it on an upward clip of growth? Is it hard to convert people to it? Because it's fairly difficult to explain. Well, no, it's not. It's easy to explain, but the revelation of it when you actually see it is hard to understand. You've got to try it one time and then you go, oh, yeah, I get it.
And you've basically like gotten to the crux of the problem, right? The good part of WordPress is it's been around for a while. The bad part of WordPress is it's been around for a while, right? So there's lots of, yeah. There's lots of players in the space, and it's difficult to cut through the noise. I mean, there's 1,000, you go to the App Store, there's, and that may be literal, but there's at least dozens of plugins that say, oh, you know, I use Stripe for payments, right? Great. That's not what we do. This is a new way of buying, right? But that doesn't mean that from a search perspective, we don't have a hard time getting that message through.
Yeah.
And we also came, you know, this is taking the topic into changing the topic entirely, but we also decided to release during like Google's helpful content update timeframe, which made, you know, it very difficult to be found online.
Right. Okay. Oh no.
So a content strategy at that time also was very difficult. Yeah. So
yeah,
and I think that all the plugin developers are running into that, right? I mean, they've everybody like go on Post Status, for instance, just people talking about like how my search traffic has dropped off in the last year or two.
Let's say that I've got a digital product that I want to sell, like let's say I don't know, podcast episodes or something like that. How does it work? What do I do? Do I go to mindspun.com, download a plugin, stick in the types of products, put a button on the front with a block? Just run us through briefly how that works, and what is the vendor relationship there? Are you using something like Stripe in the back end? Because I genuinely don't know how Google or Apple, if they're actually taking your credit card number, you know, that they've got in their wallet and what have you. Is it a direct bank transaction that's going on the Google or Apple side? What's going on? So let's start with how do we get products onto our website with the plugin?
Right. And the beginning of that question and the end of the question are actually the same answer, right?
Okay.
So one of the things that Mindspun Payments does correctly is it uses the payment gateway, which is Stripe, correctly, according to Stripe best practices. If you look at some of the other like products, they just submit payments through it as a payment gateway. And what that does is it messes up all the analytics capability you get from like Stripe natively. Stripe is a huge company. You know, they provide a lot of tools that are very useful to the vendor, like a mobile app that you can check your sales, every minute of the day on your phone sort of thing. But by the way that some of the other tools use the payment gateway, it breaks all that, you know, it auto generates products and stuff like that. And you can't really use the Stripe tools. So Mindspun follows the Stripe best practices and uses Stripe the way it was sort of intended. You create a product catalog there, just whatever you want to sell, and give it a description, feature list, picture, whatever you want. I think the only thing that's required is like the title and price, right? And then you download the Stripe plugin, you download the Mindspun Payments plugin. It connects to Stripe, syncs the product catalog entirely. And then at that point, you've got a block library that you can use to add a button, add a product listing, basically any type of display of a product that you want on your site, all block editor, all no code.
So are you using patterns to make those displays, or is it you just build up your own jigsaw pieces of blocks?
It's jigsaw pieces of blocks. And it's not technically patterns, but it's, you know, you create a block, it gives you several choices. Like for instance, if you wanted to add a product, it gives you a detailed view with the picture and everything. It gives you like a column view that's very similar to like the three column pricing page you see on every website ever. Or just here's a button, right? And all of those things are actually just collections of blocks that you can move around and change as you want. So you can choose one and turn it into the other one if you want. It's just a matter of dragging it, dropping it through the Gutenberg editor. So no code required, which means that you can be selling like in an hour instead of, you know, like the typical WooCommerce store takes quite a bit of time.
You need a Stripe account. You configure the, for want of a better word, inventory, but it's really just list of products with their description and what have you in there, set a price in there. Install the plugin consumes the product list, And then you go into the block editor, digital products, you're probably creating pages and posts and things like that. You get to the point where you want to sell, you've described whatever it is, you get to the point where you want to sell, you drop in the Mindspawn block, pick a configuration that you want, which I presume you could then amend if you wanted to, and that's it. And when you publish that, it's got everything there. So what does that look like from the buyer's point of view? Is it a button that you click, and then when you invoke that button, we're off through the process that we described, it engages the mobile wallet and what have you?
And literally, from the buyer's perspective, it's whatever you want it to be, whatever you want it to be for them. So it could be just a button. It could be here's a picture of the product itself. Here's a feature list. It's whatever, however you design that. And that's the thing. You get to design the experience that is the best fit for your product. And that's, and not only it's from the, buy it to the digital wallet, or if you want, the standard shopping cart, but also the experience afterwards where you send an email that says, thank you for your purchase, all the onboarding process, you can design that process as well, all using the block editor. So you can design including the emails that get sent afterwards.
Right.
And you saw that too. And that's, by the way, that email is really good from here's how you get started with the thing you just bought, but also
onboarding,
you might be interested. Yeah. You might also be interested in these things, which has links there, which takes you back to the minds, to your site. The Mindspawn allows you to sell, right? So you can also do upselling in that fashion.
I'm looking at the website at the moment, and I'm at /payments. Everybody wants to know, mm-hmm. don't they? What it is at the moment? It's $129 a year. Are there any caveats to that? Do you bind it to one domain, or is it possible to use two or three different websites if you've got the $129 a year payment going on?
That's per site. The goal is, It's not limited to, think of that as per production site. Mm-hmm. We have to actually give you multiple installs because we want you to have a staging site. We want you to do local development. We don't want you to develop on your production site, but the idea is that is per production site.
Got it. Okay. And can you sort of bind it to other things? Like, can you trigger actions? I don't know. There's a lot of people who do things, webhooks and things like that. So they want to fire off, put an email address in a CRM or get you in a list, a funnel that enables you to upsell various things at various other points in the future. Does it do any of that? Or is it simply, buy, get email, you're done?
Our goal is to provide all that and then make sure you don't need it.
nice.
Seriously. Yeah. So, there's a series of hooks that are described in our documentation, both in terms of front end hooks for, purchases and different actions, and also traditional PHP actions that you can tie into. We've got a series of add-ons that you can also do things like SliceWP, integration, because you're going to need an affiliate plan and all that stuff. All of our add-ons are there and configurable, but they just come in one bundle, right? So if you don't turn them on, they're not, they don't have any performance impact essentially. It's not like EDD or something where each one of those costs money. These are just things these are additional features that you can enable that,
I think we've given it a good shot at explaining how it works and what it is. I think, honestly, stop listening to the podcast, dear listener. Go to mindspawn.com, check it out. It's got some endorsements from some friends of mine, which is really nice. I see that. That's nice. Go check it out. And if you've got any questions, you can contact Matt. Is there a preferred place, Matt, that you would like to be contacted? Do you hang out on socials, or is it all email? What's the best spot?
Yeah, I mean, we're everywhere, like everyone these days, right? Post status is an obvious choice. Hit us up on Twitter. Send us, a good old fashioned email at mindspawn@mindspawn.com. You will get an answer on any platform you choose.
Perfect. Well, thank you for chatting to us about, you know, the difficulties in creating new things on WordPress, but also showing us what Mindspun can do. Good luck. I hope it all takes off. I've got an intuition that things like this are going to be really popular in the future. So maybe you're in, your foot in the door right at the beginning. Let's hope so. Thank you, Matt, for chatting to me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that fascinating chatting to Matt Lau all about Mindspun and digital wallets and fingerprint scanners and NFC and all of the fantastic ways that you can almost immediately buy things through their plugin. Hopefully that's piqued your interest. If it has, head to episode number 393 on the WPBuilds.com website and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate it. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place. Invoice clients and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more by heading to go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we're also joined by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Then try Omnisend at omnisend.com. And we do thank GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for keeping the lights on over at WP Builds. Podcasts such as this cannot happen without their support. Okay, that really is all I've got time for. Just a couple of things. Don't forget wpbuilds.com/black. Bookmark that for all of your Black Friday needs. If you want to advertise, it's wpbuilds.com/advertise. And don't forget the Tim Nash Masterclass, wpldn.uk/masterclass. Okay, that really is all I've got time for this week. I'm just going to fade in some cheesy music and say, stay safe, have a good week. Bye-bye for now.